Tonight, several developing stories as we come on the air. The head of the CDC ordering a complete overhaul of the agency. CDC Director Dr. Rochelle Walensky with the scathing review of her own agency's handling of the COVID pandemic here in the U.S., calling public guidance confusing and overwhelming. Dr. Walensky now preparing for sweeping changes, including an internal staff shakeup and faster responses to new health threats. All of this coming as the Biden administration says new COVID boosters targeting the original strain and Omicron subvariants could now be available to millions of Americans within 3 weeks. Also breaking tonight, once nicknamed America's mayor, former Trump attorney Rudy Giuliani, tonight testifying for nearly 6 hours before a special grand jury in Georgia, the target of a criminal investigation about his false claims of election fraud. What we've learned tonight, Steve Osunsami live in Georgia. A crushing defeat for Congresswoman Liz Cheney, an outspoken critic of former President Trump. He fought back, endorsing her opponent, and tonight Cheney will now leave the Congress at the end of this year. But what she's now vowing and what she's now saying about running for president, John Carl back with us again tonight. Tonight, the suspect accused of attacking author Salman Rushdie speaking from behind bars, saying he's surprised Rushdie survived, and what he said when asked if he'd been in contact with Iran's Revolutionary Guard. Tonight, the suspect's own mother reportedly disowning him.
From ABC News World Headquarters in New York, this is World News Tonight with David Muir.
Good evening, and it's great to have you with us here on a Wednesday night. We have several developing headlines as we come on tonight. Late today, Rudy Giuliani, once known as America's mayor, spending nearly 6 hours questioned under oath, the target of a criminal investigation in Georgia over false claims of election fraud. Also tonight, the resounding defeat for Liz Cheney, the strength of the former president, Donald Trump, with the Republican Party, and what she's now vowing. But we do begin tonight with those major changes now in store for the CDC. The head of the CDC announcing a sweeping overhaul in the wake of the handling of this pandemic. A report finding the CDC failed to meet expectations in its COVID response. Problems now emerging as well in the response to the monkeypox outbreak. The nation's top public health agency has long been criticized as too academic and too slow to confront crises in this country. The report finding the CDC's COVID recommendations were, quote, confusing and overwhelming, and its website not easy to navigate for the American people. Director Dr. Rochelle Walensky herself ordering the review. Now she is promising change. Of course, we all remember the changing guidance on masks and the delay in ramping up the testing. So tonight, what this all means, and it comes amid a new and important headline involving COVID. There is news tonight on when millions of Americans will have access to the new COVID booster, which will help fight the newest strains of the virus, Omicron BA4 and BA5. ABC's Ariel Reshef leading us off.
Tonight, a scathing review of the CDC, finding the agency repeatedly botched its pandemic response and failed to meet the moment of crisis. The CDC, long under fire for its guidance on masking and vaccines over the last 2 years.
It's just really confusing. So it's just like this patchwork of different like rules.
It's like contradicting. It's like a lot of stuff going on. Oh, don't do this, don't do that, and then you have to listen to both.
The CDC's own director, Dr. Rochelle Walensky, calling for the internally initiated review, studying the CDC's handling of the pandemic during both this and the previous administration. The review found the center's COVID recommendations confusing and overwhelming, and its website not easy to navigate. Dr. Walensky vowing a major overhaul of the agency. She is also calling for internal staffing changes and sharing information faster in plain language, easy to understand. This comes as millions of Americans might soon be able to get the new COVID booster, tailored to target the original COVID strain and the Omicron BA4 and BA5 subvariants. White House COVID coordinator Dr. Ashish Jha saying those revamped shots could be out in 3 weeks if the FDA and CDC both give the green light.
These are substantial upgrades in our vaccines. And those vaccines are coming very, very soon.
Those boosters expected to be for those who are 12 years and older for Pfizer and 18 years and older for Moderna, with an expectation of the new boosters for younger children to follow.
So let's bring in Ariel Reshef with us tonight. Ariel, Dr. Jha now saying these new boosters could be available in just 3 weeks' time. That's really soon. So give us a reality check here. Do health officials really think it's plausible that they'll have the CDC and the FDA both signing off on these new boosters in time for families to get this protection as we, you know, head into fall, many preparing to go back indoors and many back in school already?
Well, David, that is the question. The FDA is expected to give its green light in the coming weeks. Then the CDC advisory panel will meet, and the CDC director is likely to sign off shortly after that. And David, officials say they do believe that these new boosters will roll out as early as September.
Heard Dr. Walensky say today they need to move more quickly during these crises, so we'll see. This is the first test. Ariel, thank you. Now to the other major headline late today, Rudy Giuliani under oath before a special grand jury in Atlanta. Prosecutors have told the man, once known as America's mayor, that he is the target of their criminal investigation into potential criminal meddling in the 2020 presidential election in the state of Georgia. So ABC's Steve Austin saw me tonight at the Fulton County Courthouse in Georgia.
Mr. Giuliani, when you met with Georgia lawmakers, did you lie to them?
This was not a trip to Georgia.
We will not talk about this until it's over.
That Rudy Giuliani wanted to make. The man they once called America's mayor, who has defined his reputation these last few years with lies about the 2020 election, was put under oath today in this Georgia courthouse, where he's the one suspected of trying to help steal the vote. He was called here by a special grand jury investigating claims that former President Trump and his friends tried to change the election results in Georgia so that Trump could win. And there's tape. While testifying before state lawmakers, Giuliani made false claims about election fraud, including comments that didn't sit well with black election workers.
They look like they're passing out dope, not just ballots. It is quite clear they're stealing votes.
He famously claimed that this video showed Fulton County election workers producing suitcases of illegal ballots, charges that were investigated and proven a lie by state Republicans. Those same election workers told the January 6th committee that people started threatening to kill them. This investigation here could stretch for months and will lead to a report. It would take another grand jury to decide if anyone faces charges.
U.S. Senator Lindsey Graham has been called to appear, but he's fighting it. The governor of Georgia has also been called to appear, but he's fighting it too. And then there's the person at the center of this, the former president, who could also be called. David?
Steve Ostensami live in Georgia tonight. Thank you, Steve. Tonight, former President Trump's most outspoken critic suffering a major primary defeat. Wyoming Congresswoman Liz Cheney losing to the former president's handpicked candidate running against Cheney. And this was a landslide, showing the strength of the former president in that state. Liz Cheney, a central figure on the January 6th committee, suggesting she's not done, vowing after this resounding defeat, now the real work begins, she said. And what she said when asked if she'll run now for president, possibly challenging Trump if he runs in the Republican primary. Here's John Carl again tonight.
Donald Trump vowed to take down Liz Cheney, and he did, his hand-picked candidate in Wyoming trouncing her by more than 37 points. But for Cheney, it's now full speed ahead on the next phase of her mission to deny Trump a return to power. This after she did what Trump has never done, admit she lost.
Tonight, Harriet Hageman has received the most votes in this primary. She won. I called her to concede the race. This primary election is over, but now the real work begins.
Cheney announced today she has set up a new political organization, not just to challenge Trump, but also any candidates who deny the truth about the 2020 election. It's a move that pits her against some of the leading figures in her own Republican Party.
No American should support election deniers for any position of genuine responsibility, where their refusal to follow the rule of law will corrupt our future.
We were winning everything.
Cheney isn't just calling out Trump's lies about the election. She accused him of sowing the seeds of more January 6th-like violence with his attacks on federal agents after the FBI searched his Mar-a-Lago home. She singled out Trump's baseless claim that agents planted evidence.
This is yet another insidious lie. Donald Trump knows that voicing these conspiracies will provoke violence and threats of violence. It is entirely foreseeable that the violence will escalate further. Yet he and others continue, purposely, to feed the danger.
Today, Cheney's dire warning to Republicans was echoed by former Vice President Mike Pence.
And these attacks on the FBI must stop. Calls to defund the FBI are just as wrong as calls to defund the police.
And John Carl back in Washington tonight, just back from Wyoming. And John, former Vice President Mike Pence also making news on another front tonight. He actually said he would consider consider testifying before the January 6th committee if he's actually invited before the committee. Obviously, Liz Cheney is the vice chair of that committee. You have interviewed Cheney often. She was asked again today if she's thinking about running for president. She said she was thinking about it. But, John, a reality check here. She lost her primary last night by 37 points. She's convinced that outside Wyoming there would be greater Republican support for her?
David, it's hard to see a path forward right now for Liz Cheney in a party where Donald Trump remains the most popular figure by far among the party's rank-and-file voters. But Liz Cheney has emerged as the most high-profile and outspoken critic of Donald Trump in America, and she sees this as a movement, a battle that she will fight both inside the Republican Party and outside the party.
John Carl just back from Wyoming, where he talked with voters going into that primary last night. John, thank you. In the meantime, next tonight here, the suspect accused of attacking author Salman Rushdie speaking from behind bars, saying he's surprised Rushdie survived, and what he said when asked if he'd been in contact with Iran's Revolutionary Guard. Tonight, the suspect's own mother now reportedly disowning him. Here's Eva Pilgrim.
Tonight, for the first time since he was seen attacking famed author Salman Rushdie, Hadi Matar is talking, telling the New York Post in a jailhouse interview he thought he killed him, saying, quote, "When I heard he survived, I was surprised." Rushdie, who has faced death threats for decades after publishing his novel, The Satanic Verses, was set to give a talk at the Chautauqua Institution in Western New York when Matar rushed the stage, allegedly stabbing him more than 10 times. Matar's own mother reportedly disowning him. While Iran has officially denied any involvement, at least one Iranian paper called it divine revenge. Matar denied being in contact with Iran and would not say if he was inspired by Ayatollah Khamenei's call for Rushdie's death, but did say, "I respect the Ayatollah. I think he's a great person." And while he admitted he only read a couple pages of the book, he did say he watched his lectures online and accused the 75-year-old of being someone who attacked Islam.
Matar has pleaded not guilty to attempted murder. He's expected in court on Friday. David.
All right, Eva Pilgrim with us tonight. Eva, thank you. Now to a troubling new discovery at Lake Mead as we continue to report on the climate crisis. Tonight, authorities are trying to identify now a fifth set of skeletal remains. The call coming in this week of this newest discovery, found because water levels have fallen to historic lows. Lake Mead is the largest reservoir on the Colorado River, and our chief national correspondent, Matt Gutman, back on this tonight on this new discovery.
The ever-receding waters of Lake Mead revealing yet another grim find. Park rangers and a police dive team recovering a set of human remains on Tuesday.
They've been finding bodies, I feel like, every week or so. It's been kind of crazy.
These are the fifth human remains to be found in the lake's receding waters since May. Some of the remains from earlier this summer were found in a barrel. Authorities believe the victim likely died of a gunshot wound 40 or 50 years ago. They're investigating it as a homicide. And as alarming as these findings are, they reveal something else: the climate crisis. The lake, a vital source of water for more than 25 million people across several states and Mexico, now setting historic low records. And for more than a year, we've been reporting on the drastic changes to Lake Mead.
Decades ago, the water level here at Lake Mead was so high that they were actually worried it would lap over the Hoover Dam.
But tonight, Lake Mead is just 27% full. More than 70% of the western U.S. experiencing moderate drought conditions or worse, amplified by climate change.
And David, authorities say that multiple investigations into those deaths are ongoing, but they also warn that as the waters at Lake Mead continue to recede, as they are forecast to do, it's very likely they will find additional human remains there. David.
And of course, we'll stay on all of this. Matt Gutman, thank you. We turn next tonight to the newest battle over abortion rights in this country after Roe versus Wade was overturned. The new firestorm tonight in Florida involving the case of a 16-year-old girl arguing she should be allowed a waiver to get an abortion. The court denying that request, and ABC's Victor Kendo from Florida now.
Tonight, a 16-year-old girl is now at the center of the debate over abortion in this country in the wake of the Supreme Court's decision to overturn Roe v. Wade. She's pleading in a Florida court to get an abortion, but an appellate court upholding a lower court's ruling that the girl is not sufficiently mature enough to terminate her pregnancy. The teen, referred to as Jane Doe 22B in court documents, was 10 weeks pregnant. She's described as parentless,
living with a relative, and has a state-appointed guardian. She's asked the judge to waive the state's parental notification and consent requirements for minors, arguing she is sufficiently mature and is not ready to have a baby, adding her guardian supported her decision. Retired Florida Judge Jerry B. Cohen was not involved in these legal proceedings, but presided over countless cases like this over her career.
If she's forced to carry a child to term that she does not feel she has the emotional, physical, or financial capability to do, that could be extremely traumatizing.
The girl, who doesn't have a job and is studying for her GED, can make her case again, but time is of the essence. Florida Republican Governor Ron DeSantis signed a 15-week abortion ban into law this year. And now, one state attorney, suspended from his job for vowing not to prosecute those who violate that law, Democrat Andrew Warren, filing a lawsuit in federal court after DeSantis removed him from office earlier this month for what the governor called incompetence and neglect of duty.
This is about the governor's illegal suspension of the duly elected state attorney. This is about the governor's ability to violate the law.
And as for that 16-year-old girl, a dissenting judge saying that if she is able to come back to court and adequately articulate her request, she may still be able to get a waiver for an abortion. David?
Victor Akendo following this case in Florida tonight. Victor, thank you. Next tonight, the fight to help victims of the opioid crisis in this country. A federal judge in Cleveland tonight awarding $650 million in damages to two Ohio counties in a landmark lawsuit they won against CVS, Walgreens, and Walmart, claiming the way those companies distributed opioids to customers caused severe harm to their communities. The money will be used to help fight the continuing opioid crisis and the families destroyed by this in Lake and Trumbull counties. That's outside Cleveland. All three companies say they will appeal this. When we come back here tonight, the new video coming in after that coach was shot and killed on the youth football field. Witnesses now accusing a former NFL star of starting the fight. It was that NFL star's brother, another coach, accused of firing the gun. And then the horrific fall from a drawbridge, a tourist visiting Milwaukee. And authorities tonight asking, how did this happen?
Hey, I'm Andy Mitchell, a New York Times bestselling author.
And I'm Sabrina Kohlberg, a morning television producer. We're moms of toddlers and best friends of 20 years.
And we both love to talk about being parents, yes, but also pop culture.
So we're combining our two interests by talking to celebrities, writers, and fellow scholars of TV and movies.
Cinema, really.
About what we all can learn from the fictional moms we love to watch.
From ABC Audio and Good Morning America, Pop Culture Moms is out now wherever you listen to podcasts.
We've got the exclusive view behind the table. Every day, right after the show, while the topics are still hot, the ladies go deeper into the moments that make the view, the view. The Views Behind the Table podcast. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
The first ever criminal trial of a former president is underway in Manhattan. It's one of potentially four trials facing former President Trump as he makes his third bid for the White House. What do voters think about his culpability, and would a guilty verdict make a difference in the election? I'm Galen Druk, and every Monday and Thursday on the 538 Politics podcast, we break down the latest news from the campaign trail. We sort through the noise and zoom in on what really matters, using data and research as we go. That's 538 Politics every Monday and Thursday, wherever you get your podcasts.
Tonight, newly obtained video showing how a youth football brawl between coaches turned deadly in Lancaster, Texas. According to our affiliate in Dallas, WFAA, some witnesses are now suggesting that one of the coaches, former NFL star Aqib Talib, started the fight, running across the field, arguing with a referee and allegedly punching opposing coach Mike Hickman. Police say that's when Talib's brother, who coaches with him on that same team, then allegedly shot and killed Hickman. That brother, Yaqub Talib, is now charged with murder tonight. Now to that awful scene in Milwaukee, authorities are investigating a deadly fall from a drawbridge in that city, surveillance showing a 77-year-old man crossing the bridge as it was being raised, his wife making it across, authorities saying he held onto the railing before plunging about 70 feet. The couple was visiting from Rhode Island. His wife says her husband was hard of hearing, wore glasses, and may not have heard the warning bells. Tonight, the medical examiner says he's looking at an iPad while walking. The man who died, the bridge operator, has also been placed on leave as authorities investigate how this happened. To the index now, and the simple device that authorities say caught the thief at the airport. Apple AirTags are being credited with helping authorities catch an alleged luggage thief in the Florida Panhandle. Police arresting a baggage handler who works at Destin Fort Walton Beach Airport, a traveler reporting her luggage stolen last month with an Apple AirTag hidden inside. Authorities tracking the device right to the suspect's neighborhood, and it was there they discovered other stolen items, more than $15,000 in lost items, at least two victims from that airport. NASA taking the next big step tonight in America's return to the moon. NASA rolling out a massive rocket to the launch pad at Cape Canaveral ahead of the unmanned Artemis 1 mission scheduled for August 29th. The Orion spacecraft expected to orbit the moon during its three-week trip, and NASA hoping to land astronauts back on the moon in 4 years' time. Finally tonight here, the grandmother who just met her 100th great-grandchild. That grandmother, definitely America Strong. Marguerite Peg Kohler in Bluebell, Pennsylvania, 99 years young, and she's America Strong. Marguerite grew up an only child, and when she married husband William in 1942 during the war, she knew she wanted a big family. They would have 11 children, 56 grandchildren, and to all of them, she is Grandmom Peg. One of those grandchildren, Christine, just this month welcoming a baby boy. And this time, it was extra special because that baby boy is now Grandmom Peg's 100th great-grandchild with a special name, Collar William, in honor of her family name. And this is the moment she got to meet him.
I would be so happy.
Grandmom Peg and Collar, number 100. And right here tonight.
Hi, David.
That grandmother with what it felt like to reach yet another milestone, 100 great-grandchildren.
Oh, it's fabulous. It's terrific.
And the proud parents.
Hi, David.
Cherishing the moment and that special number they now share with Grandmom Peg.
How amazing to experience a moment like this that we know not many get to experience. We are just incredibly grateful for that. We are just so lucky and so fortunate to have this moment and be a part of this Kohler family. All thanks to Grandmom and Grandpa.
We celebrate her and the entire family and the new baby. I'm David Muir. Have a good evening. Good night.
The first taste of rare bourbon you finally got your hands on. That's nice. At Caskers.com, we make this experience easy. Caskers is a one-stop spirit curator with an impressive selection of exclusive, sought-after, rare, and household names in the realm of premium spirits and champagne. Discover the top flavors of the year now by going to Caskers.com and using code WELCOME10 for $10 off your first purchase. Get $10 off your first purchase with code WELCOME10 at Caskers.com.